Lord. Amen. What a privilege to preach to great people. Hallelujah. Again, this morning we had an entourage of guests and visitors. And if you're responsible and you know a guest or a visitor, see to it that they continue to keep coming. Stay in touch with them. Encourage them. Bless them. Strengthen them. Do whatever you got to do to get them here and keep them here. Amen. We don't want them drifting away. Everybody needs the church. Everybody needs the church. All right, let's look at Matthew, a very familiar portion of Scripture, but a little different view of the familiar. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, where the Bible says, and we understand the commission. We honor the commission. We appreciate the commission. We want to be obedient to the commission. If anybody wants to be obedient to it, I do, because someone was obedient to it, went out, and they got me. I wish I could say I was raised in the church, but I wasn't. But somebody found me because of the Great Commission. They were charged and challenged by it. They were obedient to it. But it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And everybody say, that's awesome. But here's where we're at. He said, and lo, if I could have a personal preference, I'd put a W on the end of that word. And lo, lo. Some people won't fly in an airplane because the Bible said, lo, I am with you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Somebody say, hallelujah. And that means, my title. You're blowing my timing, brother. That means no matter what, hallelujah. These guys got a hang up about my title. I don't know what's going on. If you don't like it, tell me. I can change it. It's my writing. I did all that. I think Jay would have liked it better if I put no matter what. W-U-T. Amen. I just want to preach for a few minutes. I really am not going to preach long. Amen. I'd like for you to have a little family time before you have to get up early in the morning and go your separate ways and work and all of that. But let me preach no matter what. No matter what. Holy Ghost, we're calling on the name of Jesus and looking to you for your will, praying for your wisdom right now, praying for your anointing right now. Lord, the people I'm about to preach to deserve the best, and I hope, God, and pray in Jesus' name that you would help me do my best. Lord, we're praying for your will and wisdom again, your anointing again, your spirit to move again, your blessings upon the preaching, teaching, and the reaching right now. In Jesus' wonderful name, somebody shout amen. God richly blesses. You're seated just now. Amen. No matter what. The message was born just this past week when I got a call from a pastor that was perplexed about a decision that his elderly son is making. We won't go into detail. But parents, they're very concerned. Parents are, and I don't want to use the word worry, and so I'll just say this. Parents worry about their kids. We do. We fret about them. We think about them. They're constantly on our minds. That never ceases, no matter what the age they are. And so I constantly basically let my boys know that no matter what you see in the mirror, you're still my babies. And that's funny, I know, but I don't say it to be funny. I don't say that to be comical. When I see my boys, I see my babies. And that's exactly what they'll always be. And sometimes I still call them baby. Hey, baby, what do you know? And I tell myself, you got to stop that. They're grown men. Both of them are bigger than you are. And so, you know, but that's the way you think, and that's the way you'll always think. And I think in back of their minds, since our parents are the only ones that really think that way, I think they like it. But no matter what, I think about them as my children. No matter what you see in the mirror, I want this church to know that He is still your Father. Amen. And according to what we talked about a little bit this morning, could someone say, and He's the boss? Amen. No matter how proudful, no matter how humble, no matter how sweet or downright mean we can be, He's still your Father. No matter how mature, no matter how educated you are or not, He's still your Father. Can I say, no matter how you feel or what you think, He's still your Father. How many of you will agree with me that He is our loving Father? When it all comes down to the end of the day, no one or no thing wants what is better for us than our Father. I am so glad for the church's institution where we can come like it's an oasis or something in the middle of a dry place where we can find the very presence of God. Amen. I'm asking a lot of questions here tonight. I hope that doesn't bother you. Amen. But sometimes you want to know just how many people in the prayer room before service, they thank God for being here every time we are and that we can feel His presence. How many people literally take time out and to glorify God and thank Him for His mercy, for His hope, for His help? That thank Him for His strength, His anointing, and His sweet Spirit moving. Amen. There's so many things that we could spend so much time thanking God for. I wonder if we just could take time out right now to praise Him for something. To glorify and magnify His name for something. Because out of all the good things that God has done, there's bound to be something that we're grateful for this evening. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, every good parent cries buckets of tears for their children because nothing is as paramount as their outcome. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I'm here to tell you tonight that He cried that bucket of tears at Gethsemane. I don't want to be morbid. I never want to be that. The last thing I want to do is make someone sick when they think about Jesus. But we need to understand there was a lot of brutality that went on. Amen. There was a lot of bad things that went on with His body prior to His crucifixion. When He was tied to the whipping post, there were some historians that believed that there were metal balls at the end of the cat of nine tails and that there were pieces of jawbone from donkeys of their day and that were tied to the end of and chars of glass that were put. In other words, when they came down and that centurion did his thing, there were times that entrails in the back could literally begin to leak out and intestines would fall on the ground because they were so good at what they did. I don't know. It could have almost been like a competition thing to see who could kill Him. If I can kill Him here, you guys won't get to kill Him at the cross. I bet I can do it here. Well, I bet you can't, because that was just for my healing. That's all that was for. Just my healing. That's how much He cared. He was going to go to that whipping post no matter what. And He was going to make His way to the cross no matter what. I'm just telling you what I feel and what I think. I believe that there were joints that were popped out of joint. I believe there were ligaments and what is those tendons that we talk about everybody pulls and gotta go to surgery and have all that put back together and your shoulder falls out. I believe He had all of that trying to make His way to the cross. But His mind was made up. Sometimes the only thing that we have on our side to get us through stuff is the fact that we've got a made up mind. and that we've got a bulldog grip on a determination to make heaven our home. And I'm telling you, we got that from our Father. Because He did that for us no matter what. He didn't care what was going to happen. He didn't care about the pain. He didn't care about the suffering. He was going to get this done no matter what. Hallelujah. And so He did. Hear this, preacher. There's a way out of doubt. Amen. There's a way out of doubt. He didn't cry buckets of tears at Gethsemane for no reason. He didn't suffer for no reason. He didn't bleed and die and all of that for no reason. He did that for a reason. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I are the reason. We're the reason. Come hell or high water, there shouldn't be anything in the world that can stop you from your praise. There shouldn't be anything in the world that can stop you from gracing those doors and coming into here with your praise on and with your worship on. Magnifying and glorifying the name of Jesus because He did what He did no matter what. Hallelujah. Amen. But hear me. There's a way out of doubt. There is a way out of doubt. But I'm going to tell you something about unbelief. Let me cover my ground here. I say unbelief and you get to thinking, well, yeah, you're talking about Trinitarians and you're talking about people that believe in three gods and you're talking about people that don't believe you have to be baptized. That's not all I'm talking about. Because sometimes through the years, when we get to learn our Bible and we understand it and comprehend it and we know exactly what God is saying to us, and yet we look at Him and we look at His Bible and we say, I don't believe that. I'm not going to do. When you say I'm not going to do that, that means you don't believe that. You're only going to be obedient to something that you believe in. And you're only going to believe something that you're obedient to. And so if you're not obedient, you don't believe it. Ladies and gentlemen, God can do something with doubt, but unbelief will send you to hell. It will send. I want to be heard. Unbelief will send you to hell. I don't care how much Holy Ghost. I don't care how many times you've been baptized. I don't care how many trips to the altar. I don't care how much you've given. I don't care how much you've sacrificed. If there comes a time in your life that where there is a portion in here that you don't like because it don't fit your makeup, amen, and you don't do it, that means you don't believe it. And if you don't believe the Word of God, then you are an unbeliever and there's no place in heaven for that. I know we want to talk about other things, and I know we want many times, and myself included, we want to get very charismatic so we can draw the crowds and make everybody happy and please everyone and fill the seats. But there comes times when we've got to get very serious about this servitude toward God and understand that, Lord, I don't care what it says from Genesis to Revelation, I'm going to do my best to obey it because it is the bona fide Word of God. It's the Bible. I know we're not running aisles right now, amen, but you can run through the gates of pearl if you'll listen to what this preacher is trying to tell you, amen. We can come in here with doubt. You know what doubt is? Doubt is half faith. That's what it is. It's half faith. Who was that guy in the Bible that said, you know, I'm not going to believe he's alive again until I can touch the wounds in his hands. Somebody help me. Yeah, amen. Oh, doubting Thomas. You know, he was a believer. He was. That's not unbelief. That was doubt. Because he knew Jesus was real. He just didn't know. If he really did, then he will show up. And so he had half the faith. He had half belief. He didn't have all the belief, but he had half of it. The Lord can deal with unbelief. How did he deal with his unbelief? He showed up. But if Thomas would have said, because he died, I do not believe he is my God. I do not believe he is my Savior. Jesus could have showed up all day long and it would never have changed Thomas's mind. Thomas had doubt. He didn't have unbelief. But honey, when you've got unbelief, there's nothing I can say into this microphone. There's nothing I can preach to you. There's nothing they can sing to you. No amount of hugs, no amount of tears, no amount of anything will persuade you to change the way you are, how you think about it, how you feel about it. Amen. But that, ladies and gentlemen, is dangerous because that is unbelief. And we need to deal with unbelief. And the only individual that can deal with unbelief is the individual that has it. There's no pill. There's no formula except for the fact that you've got to know it's in the Word of God to do right, walk right, talk right, act right, behave right, have a right attitude, have a right spirit. Walk with God. It's Sunday night, so it's saint time. Hallelujah. Amen. Talk right. Walk right. Look at God right. And let Him develop you right. You develop right. Grow right. Move forward. Right? No matter what. The Lord has opened the door. He went through hell opening that door. And the door is open. And so don't leave it up to Him to hang on the cross all the time. Don't leave it up to Him to be crucified again. Don't leave it up to Him to find an altar of prayer and cry and weep and sweat as though it was great drops of blood. It ain't His turn. It's your turn. It's my turn. And I've got to get this done no matter what. I've got to get this accomplished no matter what. I can sit stiff-necked. I can sit and stare off. I can turn my back on it. But I'm telling you, you're in danger of unbelief. And unbelief will send you to a devil's hell. It's time to believe. It's time to act on it. It's time to be the saint of God that God wants us to be. It's time to be the child of God. Listen. You're a parent. If you're a parent, you understand what I'm saying. Children are going to have childish behavior. Newcomers, don't you ever let a newcomer make you mad. Don't you ever get in a fuss and a fume and a fight with a newcomer. That don't even make sense. Here you are, a grown adult in the Holy Ghost, and they're just coming in. They were just born. Hello? If you argue with your infant baby about the government, that baby needs to be taken away from you. Hello, I'm just saying. You might be a redneck. I can say that. Amen. I'm just telling you right now, you need to understand that if you've been in here for years, you are on a different level. I am not telling you that you are any better than anybody. God knows I don't want to fight that. Hallelujah. Amen. But I'm just telling you, we're on a different level. And on that level, we are required and we are acquired from God to be different people than we were in the past. Because if we are not careful, we can believe this Holy Ghost. We can speak in our tongues. You say, how can we do that if we're unbelievers? Because the gift of God and the calling of God is given without repentance. Read your Bible. Believe it. Hello? Amen. You can store up the gift of God within you anytime and speak in tongues. I'm not talking about speaking in tongues. I'm not talking about the basics, baptism, the basics of repentance. I'm talking about bona fide, nut and bolt, deep, calling deep relationship with God. After you've been here long enough to comprehend it and you still want to act like you don't get it. Am I making sense? We'll let somebody else preach next weekend. I'm going deep here tonight. I know that. Amen. And I don't want to get on your nerves. Amen. Because some of you woke up with one and I'm getting on it. But I'm just here to tell you tonight. Amen. We're going to answer to God for what we know and for what we understand and what we comprehend. Whether we want to know it, comprehend it, and be obedient to it or not, we will still answer to God for it. So it's not time to go. It's time to grow. Amen. It's not time to find something more powder coated. It's not time to find something a little more sweet. It's not time to find something where there's nothing but love. It's time to find something that we can dig into and get a bite on and ride it all the way out of here when the rapture takes place. Amen. Praise God. And so there that was. Hallelujah. Amen. He's still the Father, no matter what. Praise God. He can fix doubt. Amen. But you're going to have to deal with unbelief. A sure sign of unbelief is rebellion. The Bible indicates that it is as bad as witchcraft. Look at 1 Samuel 15 and 23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Well, what is rebellion? When I get in your face and get mad and hateful? No. Rebellion is looking at it, seeing it, comprehending it, and not doing it. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness. Well, my daddy was stubborn, so I'm stubborn. It ain't nothing to be proud of. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. So we got rebellion like witchcraft. And now we've got stubbornness that's idolatry. You know why? Because people that are stubborn honor and worship their own opinion. And nobody's going to change that. Wow. Man, that I'm just telling you, that is very dangerous ground. You need to have a mindset and a heart set that if you hear something preached that you never thought of, you never heard of, you'd say, whoa, I never thought of that. I got to do that. That's openness to the Spirit of God. That's openness. That's saying no matter what, no matter what. I've been in church a long time and thank God for your mercy and grace because I never comprehended that. But I got it now and that's what I'm going to get. That's what I got. I want that. I need that. He said, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. My, 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 my. King to us represents being dominant over our three enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And if we can't be king over them through the Holy Ghost, we're going to lose this thing. Amen. And so we've got to overcome. He knows how to destroy pride. Somebody say, thank the Lord. He knows how to lift up the downhearted. He knows how to comfort, strengthen, refresh, renew, and bring back confidence and forgiveness. He's the Father, and he can fix it no matter what. And if you got people looking at you like a loser, they looked at your Father like that too. If they falsely accuse you, they did your Father like that as well. And besides all that, God does excellent with losers. You're looking at one. By the mid-1860s, he was one of the most famous men in America. Over a 30-year career, his exploits as a mountain man, expedition guide, Indian fighter, and military man were unequaled. Yet his physical appearance was underwhelming. He had a physique that no one found intimidating. He was short. Hallelujah. Some said only 5'6". I got him. He had no handsome features that anyone noticed. And he was quiet and tacky, speaking only when he was spoken to. When the future Civil War General William Sherman had heard about Kit Carson and his heroisms, he went to meet him in 1847 expecting to see a Herculean man. But upon seeing Carson, Sherman's impression was anything but Herculean. Sherman said, I cannot express my surprise at beholding a small, stoop-shouldered man, reddish hair, freckled face, soft blue eyes, and nothing to indicate extraordinary courage or daring. As if those attributes were not enough to signify the smallness of Kit Carson, he was also illiterate and could not read and he could not write. But it was his courage that was beyond reproach. He conquered. no matter what. Hallelujah. His endurance in Indian warfare and the Mexican War to save his fellow comrades, was way beyond normal and way beyond. I wish I had time to share it all with you. I was amazed. I was just reading a hunting magazine, and it had this history article about Kit Carson. I never knew this. There was a time when the Indians stole their horses, and they would have died out in the middle of the desert plain without them, and they snuck back into the Indian camp. They said that in order, because he had it on his mind, that if I don't get these horses, that my comrades are going to die. And so he snuck in there, untied those horses, and crawled on his belly for over a half a mile. Through cactus, through all that, ripped their feet up, they tore themselves apart, and he did this. This loser, this nobody. It was such tribulations he experienced while traveling hundreds of miles during his years in trapping that prepared him for the job that will ultimately bring him national recognition. That job resulted from the chance meeting in 1842. Let me tell you something. With God, there's no chance. It's going to happen or it's not. If we want to do great things for God, we need to be preparing for it. And when God's get ready, he will either call us to do that or he will not, because we are either prepared or we're not prepared. Did you catch that? Amen. While on a trip to Missouri, he ran into a fellow passenger on a steamboat. John Fremont from the U.S. Army was looking for a guide for an expedition through the West, and Carson was hired. It became one of the greatest trails there ever was. And before Carson began to take these people that wanted to blaze a trail to the frontier, it was no more than an animal trail. A total loser, ladies and gentlemen, became a national icon. I'm not shooting to become an icon. My future is God's business. Whatever he wants, that's what I want. The only thing I'm saying tonight is, no matter what. I don't know how you started. I really don't. I don't know where everybody came from. Some of your beginnings are funny and hilarious, and the stories you tell. But I know that there's a lot of grief in the background and all of that. Many of you, and most of you, are first generation apostolics, because we dug this out here in Lexington, North Carolina. And so I don't know every background, and I don't know what you came from. But I just know that when I found out that where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound, I jumped on it. I jumped on it. Hallelujah. I don't know how you started. Your greatest days are not behind you. Listen, it's not how you started. Hear me. It's how you finish. It's how you finish. Amen. And so I'm shooting for a land out of this world. And when I found out that I had a chance, I took it. Praise God. Your greatest days are not behind you. Your greatest days are ahead. Amen. Young people, hear your pastor today. Amen. Don't lock in on your looks. Don't lock in on your books and your education to the point that you don't see Jesus anymore. And there's portions that you don't believe. Don't lock in on your past. Don't lock in on your failings and your shortcomings. Amen. You know what you need? You need a hug. You need a hand. And you need a heart that will say, let's get out of here no matter what. And tonight, he wants to walk up beside somebody and say, I'm going to help you. And we're going to get this done no matter what. I hear his voice and I feel his presence. Could we raise our hand and worship him just a moment? Can we let the Spirit speak? Can we let the anointing break a yoke? Can we let God do something personal to us regardless of what we think everybody else is going to think about it? Amen. That's good. That's wonderful. And that's awesome. Sometimes we won't even go to the altar and repent because we're afraid that people will hear us. I don't care if you hear me repent. I want to repent. I don't care if you hear me in struggling and want to make it to heaven. I want to make it to heaven. And I am going to make it to heaven no matter what. No matter what people think about it. No matter what people say. I don't care. I'm not going to camouflage what's going on in my life because I want to show myself as some kind of icon and some guru and some great spiritual end. Hey, none of us are any of that had it not been for the grace of God. Jesus Christ became our ransom. He became the trailblazer that opened the way to cover our sins. He covered our sicknesses, our sorrows, and He covered our emotions. Amen. I'm sorry, but I've got to get real right because someone needs to get right. And I won't be much longer, but healing is not just physical. Some of the deepest wounds that you could ever have healed is healing of your emotion. And that all that emotional stuff, that emotional makeup about us. There are too many people that live their whole life messed up because they were raped or because they were abused or molested by some silly family member. It's not enough to be molested, but by a family member. And that just causes God only knows what else. And they were told as a child, you're stupid. Or you're the reason why we're in financial trouble. Or you'll never amount to anything. If there's somebody here like that right now, let me share a story with you. There was a young man that was 14 years old. He went into his class and sat down at his desk. He had a hard time learning. I'll confess that. But his teacher looked at him and said, you are the dumbest student that I have ever taught. I have never taught anybody as stupid or as dumb as you are. You shouldn't even be in school. And he got up and walked out. And Henry Ford invented a vehicle. That ain't stupid. And that ain't dumb. That's somebody that walked out of a school class, away from his peers and people that didn't believe in him and said, I'm going to make it work in my life no matter what. And if you're a victim of any kind of these circumstances or 1,000 more that we can name right now, you need to just get it between your ears that you are a bona fide child of God now and nothing else matters. Nothing I went through, nothing anybody says, nothing anybody does. I'm going to make it home. I'm going to have me a pastor. I'm going to have me a church. I'm going to have me a church family. And I'm going to have these things no matter what. Praise God. There's too many people. That stuff can rupture a person's emotions. It can ruin their outlook in life. It can produce bad self-worth. You don't have to carry it. He carried it all the way to the cross. And now he's looking for a friend. Not like Judas. Again, Judas didn't have doubt. His whole world turned into unbelief. And he sold him. We're talking about the man that kissed the door of heaven right on the cheek and wound up in hell. And every service at Landmark, we're kissing him on the cheek. Don't you dare wind up in hell. No matter what. I'm going to do something crazy right now. And then I'm done. Brother Cody, you got your phone? It's about dead. I don't want one that's going to die on me. This has got to work. Brother Cook, you got your phone? There's a phone, a pink one. Bring it up here, brother. I need. You got your phone, buddy? Come on up here. Help me out. Bring her phone up here, man. Praise the Lord. Does anybody else want to? Hannah, you got your phone? You got a baby too, don't you? Don't wake that baby up. I don't need that right now. I'm closing. Praise the Lord. Who's got a phone? Raise your hand. You want to help me? You're too short. right back here. Come up here and help me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Carson, did you raise your hand? Somebody else? I need four. All right, two over here. Do you guys know how to turn your flashlight on? Turn your flashlight on. Get up here close to the edge, and I want you to hold that light out toward the audience, just like this. All my preaching just went down the drain. Do y'all remember what I said earlier? Holy Ghost, help us. Sis, would you come and help your husband? Now we know. Now we know. I just wanted to help you. I didn't fire you. All right. Okay. I want you to hold it up like that. Sis, stand over there on the corner. Brother, you stand right up there real close. I want everybody to see your light. Carson, move down a little bit. Sis, move up a little bit. Don't fall. All right. I don't know how good our insurance is. We're on the edge at Landmark. Brother Jay, can we make it a little bit, not total dark, but a little bit dark up here? Do you? That is awesome. I love this church. Can everybody see the light? Can you see the light? All right, let me give you a story. It's the sonnet. It's called The Sonnet, written by Emma Lazarus. What a name. Hallelujah. Located on the base of the Statue of Liberty in New York's harbor. She was asked to write something for the base of the Statue of Liberty there at New York Harbor. And she went to work, and this is what she ultimately came up with. And it is on the base of the base of the Statue of Liberty is like 80 feet tall. And so it said, not like the brazen giant of Greek fame. In other words, she's not comparing our Statue of Liberty to the brazen giant of Greek fame that incidentally was destroyed by a massive earthquake. And so the only large statue like that we have now standing is the Statue of Liberty. And so she said, not like the brazen giant of Greek fame, with conquering limbs astride from land to land. Here at our sea, washed, sunset gates shall stand a mighty woman with a torch, whose flame is the imprisoned lightning, and her name, Mother of Exiles. From her beacon hand glows worldwide welcome. Her mild eyes command the air-bridged harbor that twin cities frame. Keep, ancient lands, your storied pomp, cries she with silent lips. And she closed with this. Give me your tired. Give me your poor. Give me your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. The wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. And she has stood there all of these years. They said that lightning strikes this monument many, many times every year. And she still stands tall, no matter what. To give those that are beat, battered, bruised, suffering, homeless and helpless, refuge in New York Harbor. Tonight, she was simply saying there, if there are those you can't love, send them to me. And the Lord is saying the same thing. Send them to me, and I will show them love no matter what. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Praise God. Unusual, yes. Just to get a point across. Is there anybody here right now that would like to make your way to the harbor? That you see the light and you know the way. He is the light and He's making a way. It's bright and it's shining where the altar is, where the hopeless can come, where the helpless can come, where those that were victims were those that have stories, those that have horrible history. Those, I can go on and on. But we want to show the Lord tonight before we leave this house that we're coming home no matter what. We will make it all the way to that soul's harbor no matter what. We're risking everything. We're pouring in everything. We're giving it all our faith. We're giving it all our strength. We're giving it all of our sacrifice. We've got made up minds. We've got determination. And we're going to make this happen no matter what. And as you come, you're making a statement. As you come, close your eyes and lift your hands and let's call on the name of the Lord. Because just as sure as you came to meet Him, He met you here. He's here right now. With His loving arms, He wants to hug you. With His hands, He wants to hold you. With His voice, He wants to calm you. Hallelujah. And with His love, He wants to save you. Somebody, go deep right now. Go deep right now. Go deep right now. Praise God.
When I think of your sacrifice, the ultimate price,
my God,
you paid.
Lord Jesus, I can't tell you how much I need you.
Lord, I love.
I cannot tell you how much I need you. Can't tell you how much, Lord. I can't begin to comprehend what I would be without you. I can't comprehend what I would be without friends, home, and family. Holy Ghost, I'm just here to say yes. No matter what. No matter what. No matter what. No matter what, Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, your holy name, your holy name, your holy name, mighty God. Oh yes, oh yes, yes. Yes, yes.
Lord, I worship your holy name.
My
oh,
hallelujah. They're going to see the light. They're going to see the light. They're going to see the torch that burns. They're going to sense the safety and they're going to come. They're going to find the harbor. They're going to find their liberty and they're going to find their freedom. Right here in the very presence of God. Right here in the very presence of God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, yes. Yes, 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 yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
And give you praise.
My. Glory. Glory, 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 glory.
Yes,
yes,
yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And I worship. else? Who else can show the hopeless that there's hope than those that had a life that was full of hopelessness? Who else can show the broken that they can be mended better than those that have been broken and have been mended? How many of us can show losers the way? Because that's exactly what we were. Hello? Go get them, Landmark. No matter what. God bless you as you're dismissed tonight in Jesus' name. Thank you for being in the house of God with us this weekend.